Well, good morning. Morning, it seemed an appropriate song for this morning, Run to the Father. A couple of things as we get started here. One is just yesterday was Food Share Pantry Day, and Food Share Pantry Day happens on the third Saturday of every month, but as you are probably aware, it doesn't only happen on the third Saturday, at least in terms of getting ready. That happens all month long. And so I just wanted to say thank you to all those that served and sacrificed and prayed and persevered. We again served some 75, 80 cars, families, as well as I think it was about 300. So the numbers are down just from kind of the height of the pandemic, but they're still way above what we were doing pre-pandemic. And so the need is still very great, and thank you for all of the ways that you participate in that. It's a wonderful ministry and a wonderful way to express our compassion and our generosity with the community around us. In your pew racks, there's probably a welcome card. If there's not, you can hit up Dave Harris in the back, and he'll make sure you get one. If you wouldn't mind writing at least your name on that, you don't have to fill out all the details. On the back, you can write a note or a prayer request if you would like, but that helps us in the office come Tuesday to not only remember who was here, but also it reminds us of who wasn't here, and so we can reach out and check in with people that way. So if you would be so kind to fill that out, and just at least, if nothing else, put your name on it, that would be helpful. Those can go in the offering baskets. We are not passing them, but they are in the back at both sides, and so you can place them in there on your way out today, as well as your any offering or tithe that you have. Speaking of offering and tithes, I want to say also, you know, we really throughout this whole last year and a half, have really continued to meet our budget. And that is just phenomenal. And I just wanted to mention that, God's faithfulness to us and seeing us through. And even now, and I think about not just, you know, the money that's needed for lights and the sound system and the building and that. But, you know, the deeper aspect of this is, you know, that we can do a food share pantry. You know, that we can collect the food and the clothing and all those items. We can collect them and we can have them here and we can disperse them. We can, a Kenyan community that meets on Sunday afternoons here, they're able to meet here. You've got AA meetings happening all week long in the fellowship hall or in the community room. You've got a preschool that's able to meet during the school year. You've got Tigard High School last week, their graduation. They pretty much packed out our parking lot because the graduates were all taking pictures. And so they came and they used our space here to do pictures for all their graduates. And so, you know, just another connection, another outreach to the community. A couple weeks ago, we had the Girl Scouts. They held a meeting here one evening. And so on and on and on. Thank you. You know, praise God for his faithfulness month after month after month. Today is Father's Day. And so I realize that in years past, we've been reading, if you've been here, you've maybe noticed that every Mother's Day we read by Amy Young, Wide Spectrum of Mothering, which is a way of recognizing and honoring kind of the vast array of experience that mothers have. And so in a similar way, I thought, we haven't done that for fathers, and so I thought this morning would be a good opportunity to do that. And so I've invited my daughter-in-law all the way from Florida, and she graciously accepted. She decided she'll stay for even a couple of weeks, which is phenomenal, but she's all the way out here to read what is called a Father's Day litany. Now, I've just asked her this morning if she would be willing to read this for us. It's a prayerful piece, just again recognizing sort of the wide spectrum of fathers and praying God's blessing. And so, Abby, if you would please read, and let's just receive this in the spirit of the prayer that it's intended.
For fathers everywhere who have given us life and love, may they be given the same in great measure. Our Father in heaven, hear this prayer for our fathers. For fathers who have lost a child through death, may their faith sustain them, and may strength and peace and hope be near. Our Father in heaven, hear this prayer for our fathers that mourn. For men who have not had children of their own, but show a father's heart to someone in need of advice, support, nurturing, and love, our Father in heaven, hear this prayer for our father figures. For stepfathers who have assumed that role with love and joy, who have loved the children of another as their own and created a new family, our Father in heaven, hear this prayer for our stepfathers. For adoptive fathers who have heard the call of God to lovingly step forward for those that need their care, our Father in heaven, hear this prayer for adoptive fathers. For fathers who have been unable to be a source of strength, who have not responded to the needs of their children, our Father in heaven, show mercy on absentee fathers. For fathers who struggle with temptation, violence, or addiction, for those who do harm, and for those they have harmed, our Father in heaven, have mercy on fathers that struggle. For new fathers, full of hope. For longtime fathers, full of wisdom. For fathers yet to be, and fathers soon to be. Our Father in heaven, hear our prayer for the fathers of your church. For those that have shaped our lives without claim of family or kinship. For those who have taught us, guided us, shaped us, and molded us into servants of Christ our Lord. Our Father in heaven, hear our prayer for the fathers of our faith. For all fathers everywhere, our Father in heaven, we ask your blessing upon each one. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Abby. Speaking of fathers, speaking of children, let me go ahead and dismiss. If you are one of the young ones, you are dismissed, released, free to go to Children's Church. For the rest of us, let me invite you, if you would like, to turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. If you're grabbing a pew Bible, page 684, 685 will help you get to where you want to be. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to pick it up in verse 9. The words will be on the screen behind me. Matthew 6 and verse 9. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "This then is how you should pray." And he begins, "Our Father in heaven." This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, which seems a more than appropriate text for today. Really, a text that moves us to consider the one who is our Heavenly Father, and with that, moving us toward perhaps a deeper intimacy with Him. Keeping in mind, to the ancient Jewish people, the practice, the habit, the discipline to pray was at the very heart, was at the very center. It was the soul power for life. Great is prayer, the rabbis would say. Great is prayer, greater than all good works. From another, we read he, meaning fathers for sure, but not just fathers, but for each one of us. He who prays within his house surrounds it with a wall that is stronger than iron. Noting that the prayer that is kind of at the foremost, at the forefront of all of ancient Judaism is what is called the Shema. The Shema being a prayer of Scripture beginning in Deuteronomy chapter 6, primarily verses 4 and 5, which reads, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. It then continues on down through verse 9. It heads over to Deuteronomy 11, and then it jumps over to Numbers 15. Shema, meaning to hear. And it was a prayer that was to be recited every day, every morning and every evening by every Jew. It was Rabbi Eliezer who said, Shema is to be prayed in the morning as soon as the light is strong enough to distinguish between blue and green. And then again, in the evening, always before the hour of 9 p.m. Always before 9 a.m. and then always before the hour of 9 p.m. In addition to the Shema is what is called the Shmoneh Esrei, which means 18 in Hebrew, and it speaks to these prayers, 18 prayers that were also to be prayed three times a day, at 9 in the morning, at noon, and then at 3 in the afternoon. It's still an essential aspect of Jewish prayer life. There's now 19, not 18, but they've kept the name the same. In addition to Shema and to Shmoneh Esrei, from the scholar William Barclay, he writes, there was prayer before and after each meal. Prayers in connection with light, fire, and lightning. On seeing the new moon, on comets, rain, or tempest. At the sight of the sea, lakes, or rivers. On receiving good news. On using new furniture. On entering or leaving a city. Everything had its prayer, which I think is really beautiful. It's beautiful. As a father, I want that for my family. As a pastor, I want that for us as a church community. Right? I want this to be a part of my life, a part of our lives together. That kind of deep intimacy. Right? That kind of intentional awareness. Right, being saturated with, attentive to his presence. I imagine the same was true back in that day. And I think we can also imagine that it was also then open to some misuse and manipulation, we could say. Which is why Jesus then goes on, Matthew 6 and verse 5, Jesus says, and when you pray, do not be like hypocrites. This is just before he leads us in the prayer. Do not be like hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Which is a reference back to the prayers of Shmoneh Esrei, which were standing prayers, which were to be made, again, three times a day, right? 9 in the morning, noon, 3 in the afternoon. And so it happened wherever you were, at whatever particular place you were located at 9 or at noon or at 3, you were to stop and you were bound to pray. And so what would happen is that maybe it's just before noon and you're out and about, and so you head over to the town square where it's absolutely the busiest. People are all over the place. It's the busiest in terms of people out and about. And so you just happen, quote unquote, happen to show up at noon. And well, now I need to pray, right? And so as part of that process, it's a standing prayer, and you would take three steps back, and then you would take three steps forward, and you might even raise up your hands, and you would begin to recite these 18 prayers. The problem with that is, and what began to happen was, it was not then really a prayer that was aimed at a deeper intimacy with God, right? It became a prayer that was about my own self-adoration, right? About people seeing me, right? In fact, Jesus says, right, on the street corners, to be seen by others. And no longer was it something of intimacy, it was now something of self-adoration. Jesus then goes on, he says, truly I tell you that one has received their reward in full. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And in essence here, Jesus paints kind of a picture for us. He says, go into this room, tameon, this idea of a room, but think of an inner room, or think of it here as a private space. It's this idea of a close, personal, intimate sort of a gathering. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, like non-Jews, like Gentiles, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. That word babbling there is batalageo. It's the only time that we find this in the New Testament. From the ancient book of wisdom, however, Sirach, a.k.a. Ecclesiasticus, we read there in 7 and 14, it says, do not prattle, batalageo, in the assembly of the elders, nor repeat yourself in your prayer. And so it's this sort of endless babbling, this kind of vain repetition of words and phrases. And Jesus begins to push back against that from the scholar Leon Morris. He says to pray at length was regarded by the Gentiles as the way to make sure that one's prayer was appreciated by deity. And really, it was a practice throughout really the whole of the Middle East for prayers to be given with lots and lots of repetition, for prayers to kind of go on and on and on and pile up, title after title and adjective after adjective. It was it became this sort of intoxication of words. And it had with it this belief that you could pester or coax your God into showing favor. This was the purpose of it, was to coax a God to show favor. One such prayer I came across, it goes like this. It says, Holy One, and this is just the beginning of the prayer, by the way. Holy One, good and gracious to all, our Creator, our Preserver, Eternal One, who now we cry unto Thee, Eternal One of the universe, of angels and of men, who art in heaven, beholder of all things in heaven and earth, knower of every creature and all their works, the everlasting to everlasting One, Almighty, Lord, ruler of all, superintending and disposing all things, who is eminent and supreme, filler of heaven and earth, blessed, praised, and glorified be the Holy One. And it's into that reality, that sort of endless kind of ongoing repetition. And Jesus says, yeah, don't do that. He says, don't batalogeo. Don't do that sort of vain repetition. Don't do that heaping up of titles and descriptors, right? Verse 8, for your Father, happy Father's Day, for your Father, He knows what you need, right? He knows what is necessary, but what you are lacking. He knows what you need before you ask Him. This, then, Jesus says, meaning with all of that in mind, this is how you should pray. And notice again, He begins, Our Father in heaven. Right? In other words, you don't have to babble on and on. You don't have to recite, repetition after repetition, title after title. He says you don't have to pester God. You don't have to coax God into somehow showing you favor. He says just begin, our Father in heaven. Begin there. Begin, our Father in heaven. We see this play out actually in 1 Kings in chapter 18. The short backdrop here is there's a standoff between Elijah, who is a prophet of God, and hundreds of prophets of Baal. And the line has been drawn in the sand, and they are about to go kind of toe-to-toe. Keeping in mind, the central part of the story is that both Elijah and the prophets of Baal have each built their own altar, and each are going to call upon their God. And the God who answers with fire, well, then he is God. So as was the custom in that day for the prophets of Baal, they first began calling on the name of their God. And they begin with, it says, O Baal, answer us. Now keep in mind, this was not once. It was not, O Baal, answer us. This would go on for hours on end, over and over, repeating it. The text says they would then start shouting, right? They start shouting. They would start dancing and then shouting louder. And then they would start even slashing themselves. They would begin to cut themselves. So in a very real sense, this is a vivid display, kind of HD 4K in our world today, of what is batalageo. Batalageo, right? They called, meaning babbling and repetition of words. It says then they shouted, right? We could say speaking many words. And then it says the cutting began. And all of this was done, again, as an attempt to inspire the attention and the compassion and the favor of their God, of the deity. And it's out of that cultural reality here. Again, Jesus says, so when you pray, our Father in heaven, begin there. Begin there. Begin with that intimacy, our Father in heaven. Why? Because your Father, he already knows what you need. Your Father knows what you need. Bata legeo, no, right? Don't babble. Don't go on and on and on. Don't shout and dance and shout louder. Don't pester God like right, with repetition and chanting. And don't start harming yourself, right? Just say, our Father in heaven. And in essence, we could say, make every day a Father's Day. Make every day a Father's Day, because your Father, he already knows what you need. Every moment, every situation, whatever condition, right? When the stresses of life begin to feel a bit too much, when the washing machine is broken and the car needs new tires, right? When there's conflict with a friend, we maybe don't see eye to eye. When the body aches, or maybe when the emotions are just feeling completely overwhelmed, right? When the whatever it is, you fill in the blank, Jesus steps in and he says, come, talk to me. Come be with me, our Father in heaven. Don't bottle a gale. Don't shout. Don't go on and on. Right? Your Father, he already knows what you need. Right where you are right now, he knows what you need. Just come to him and simply begin, our Father in heaven. You know, but I'm really concerned about our finances. I'm really concerned about our kids. I'm really concerned about the tomorrows. I'm worried about lots of things. And Jesus says, come, run to the Father. Come, talk to me. Our Father in heaven. Why? Because he already knows what you need. Right? I can't stop thinking or worrying about that problem. I'm worried about that thing that's coming up next week. We're not seeing eye to eye on things right now. Why do I always seem to be so angry? And Jesus says, come, talk to me, our Father in heaven. This then is how you should pray. And he says it begins with our Father in heaven. I want to bring it to a bit of a close and invite us to sit in some stillness. And as we do that, I want to maybe throw out just a couple of thoughts for us to consider. And maybe the first one is just to say, where do you begin? Where do you begin? Where do you begin when life feels overwhelming? Where do you begin where there's conflict? Where do you begin with that disagreement? Where do you begin with that struggle or that stress, that concern? Where do you begin? Where do I begin? And kind of the follow with that is, what if we always began our Father in heaven? What if that's where we started? That struggle, that temptation, that ache, that's where we started? What if we always began, "Our Father in heaven"? What would it look like to start every day, every hour, every moment, to always start, "Our Father in heaven"? What if we were to begin with our first waking breath, "Our Father in heaven"? What if we were to close our eyes, our last thought, "Our Father in heaven"? What if before every meal, recognizing the blessing, we started, "Our Father in heaven"? What if every conversation, we began, "Our Father in heaven"? What if where every activity, we began with, "Our Father in heaven"? What would it look like every day, every hour, every moment, to always start, "Our Father in heaven"? And then maybe to put it another way, what if we made every day a heavenly Father's Day? I love that my son Andrew is here with me this morning. And when he came in, the first thing he did was give me a hug and said, "Happy Father's Day." And I love that. What if every day was a heavenly Father's Day? What if every day we woke up saying to our Heavenly Father, "Happy Father's Day, Dad"? What if we made every day a Heavenly Father's Day? Our Father in heaven, because your Father, he already knows what you need.